is Simply Awesome Sports. Man, and can I say that our youngest fan was very interested in that theme song that was written by Eric Meyer, written and performed by Eric Meyer. Our littlest fan was incredibly intrigued to listen to that whole thing. So,
well, let's clarify there, our youngest fan, not our littlest fan.
That's true.
And yes, that was a Peeps joke on you.
Oh. Aww. How do you know? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, we don't need to answer that question.
Anyway, how do you know he likes you?
Oh.
What did you know he does? Anyways, let's get off of that while we still are on the air.
Yeah, nobody else has gotten off on that, so we might as well try.
Boo.
Starting the show on a high note.
Exactly. We can only go up from here. So, speaking on that, let's thank Oregon Sports News for letting us be on the air again.
Yeah, that may end after this.
Thank you very much. Right now, if you go and check out the website, there's a lot about the Trailblazers. Of course, the All-Star Game is coming up for the NBA here. There's some on the Oregon State. And there's some on fantasy baseball if you're really interested. So go and check out all their stuff. They've got some great writers on there. So, as we always do, why don't we get started and talk about something completely not sports related? Let's get into a little bit of movies. Now, we're not going to just talk about Star Wars the whole time before it comes.
Did I lose you? Matt?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, you're back. You paused for a second.
Oh, okay. So what I was saying is let's get started with some movie news, as we normally do. So it just came out recently that J.J. Abrams, because of secrecy and because of them almost being done, are talking about moving the new Star Wars movie from December up to the summertime. To compete with all the other summer movies. What are some of your thoughts on that, Ridley? What do you think about moving this blockbuster up to the summertime?
You know, I don't like it. I mean, I'm not in an overwhelming rush to see the movie. I am excited to see it when it does come out. But this, like, Star Wars, I don't know, it doesn't seem like a summer movie to me for some reason. You know, which has been kind of the superhero time of the year lately. I was kind of looking forward to going out towards it, going out and watching it around Christmas. It does come out on your birthday after all, so I'm sure you're looking forward to that.
I thought that was going to be super awesome.
I know, but J.J. Abrams just wants to take everything away from you.
He does. He always does. He took away Alien from me, he took away Lost, and now he's taking away Star Wars on my birthday.
Oh, womp womp.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was looking forward to watching it around Christmas time. You know, there's not much else to do. You might as well go watch Star Wars 5 times in a week, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I think it's going to be very interesting, you know, Disney's got a big decision there because it's Avengers is their property as well. They would basically be competing against themselves.
Right, which would not be smart.
No. You know, it's like they could probably do a lot better if they don't do that, but I totally see where JJ's coming from. I mean, there have been some leaks that have come out on the movie, and he probably wants to get it out there so that he doesn't have to deal with this for the next year.
Right. I mean, I can understand that, but, you know, it happens. This is what happens when you have the internet and everybody must know everything immediately. So, you may cut off 6 months from that, but I don't think it's worth it, in my opinion. No need to rush it.
Sounds good. Probably not. So, why don't we get into talking about, of course, the big game that happened last weekend. Or 2 weekends ago? Yeah, 2 weekends ago.
Well, 8 days ago.
Okay. God, who knows what day it is anymore. But let's get into the big game. What did you think? How was your food? How was the party that you did for the Super Bowl?
You know, from what I remember, it was pretty good.
That's always the best Super Bowl party if you can't remember all of it.
Yeah, it doesn't make for the best Monday at work, though.
No, definitely not. That's why, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about it on this show, but it's one of the reasons why the Super Bowl really should be on a Saturday. And I know they're never going to do it, but they really should. I mean, it would just help those of us who want to enjoy it a little bit more. And by more, I mean drink a little bit more. It would really help us to enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure corporate America would get behind this one immediately, because I can't imagine the amount of lost productivity that corporate America faces on the Monday following the Super Bowl. It's just got to be astronomical. I mean, they might as well just make it a national holiday. Move Martin Luther King Jr. Day up to that day and just declare it a federal holiday. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, why don't you just tie President's Day in with the Super Bowl? It's like, it's one day for all of the presidents. You might as well put it on there for all of the football, all the Super Bowls as well.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's not like we're doing anything productive that Monday anyway, so.
Exactly. But, you know, I had some good beer. I'll tell you. You know that I brew my own beer. And so that was what I was drinking during the Super Bowl. And, man, I can say I very rarely have brewed a beer that I just don't really enjoy drinking, and this is one I really don't enjoy drinking.
Congratulations to you.
I know. It's like a first for me, so I'm pretty happy about that. So, you know, that's kind of... So that was what I was having. It was a darker beer. It was supposed to be a spiced ale that was supposed to have, you know, a good amount of different spices on it, good amount of, you know, depth to it. It fermented for a while, and it was dark in color. And really, it just turned out to be not too tasty. So
you had a crappy beer and a crappy ending to your Super Bowl.
That is true. Well, except it was really awesome to see my wife be so happy about the Super Bowl.
She must be standing in close proximity.
Well, she is, but I've said that to other people as well.
You're just afraid you'll get back around to her.
I am not saying that out loud.
All right, so other than the drinks and the snacks, what else were your takeaways from the Super Bowl?
Oh, you mean actual game-wise?
Yes, the actual game-wise.
I thought that... Man, I thought it was one of the best Super Bowls, but I mean, everyone is going to say that. It was great from the beginning to the end. It was exciting. It was going back and forth the whole time. You know, I'll let you bring up the final play in your analysis, but from my point of view, they were the two best teams in the league, probably from about week 10 on. And it was great that they were able to meet in the Super Bowl. It was just a wonderful game to watch. It was why people enjoy watching sports. It could have gone either way the entire game.
That is true. And in fact, I think on our Hour of Power podcast from Thanksgiving, we both thought that this was probably going to be the Super Bowl matchup, even though the Seahawks weren't even in the playoffs at the time. But
I think that's true. At least we could definitely say that that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like anybody's going to go back and watch them and prove us wrong.
I know, exactly. If you do that, then really you just have bad things going on in your life.
Yeah, but kudos to you nonetheless.
Yeah.
So, and we don't really need to talk about that last play. I mean, if you watched any sort of sports or ESPN the following week, you probably saw every possible analysis and description and breakdown of that last play. And so we don't really need to go over it. I think the thing that kind of gets overshadowed is that, you know, think about how memorable that catch would have been leading up to that that last play that was just completely spoiled by the interception.
I completely agree. I just feel terrible for Curse. It's like, you're right. He would have gone down in history for that amazing catch, and now it's like, eh.
Yeah, like, it's same thing with the David Tyree helmet catch. If the Patriots would have ended up winning that Super Bowl, nobody would have thought about David Tyree ever again. Like, plain and simple. I mean, that was his last catch in the NFL, so I can guarantee you nobody thinking about the NFL would have thought about that anymore. But now every Patriots fan will bring that up when they talk about how terrible their life is, even though they've won 4 Super Bowls in the last 13 years.
I know. I really feel bad for them. I really feel bad. The only thing I'm going to say about the last play, and I've said it to a few different people, is that everyone is saying the same thing. They should have run the ball. But if everyone is saying the same thing, then don't you think a pass might not have been such a bad play call? Everyone was saying run. Everyone was expecting run. Hey, maybe a pass might have fit in there in the certain look, in the certain scheme.
A pass could have worked if it was the right pass. Like, I don't know why you don't run play action there, because play action seems to work all the time on the goal line, because everybody bites down in, the linebackers pause for a second, and then you have a tight end or a fullback wide open in the flat constantly. Yet, what they do, they spread it out. They don't even feign the option of a run, and it completely spoils it. And so that's why Butler had such a quick beat on us, because he knew they weren't going to run the ball. And so as soon as he saw Lockett turn in, he just went straight, or he, you know, tried to come off, cut him off, and went straight to the ball.
Yeah. I totally see that, too. I totally see that, too, but there's just, everyone's going to be overanalyzing it, as you saw. So, that's our take on it. I'm okay with the call, and you would have been okay with the pass, but a different pass. So.
Correct.
Sounds pretty good. Anything else from the Super Bowl? Any other takeaways that you want to go with?
The commercials were a letdown.
I completely agree with you. Completely agree. I like how they tried to do that whole PSA thing at one point. You know, I was cool with that. But I, for the most part, I thought that they were all pretty bad. There was really not a good one that stood out.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I did like the Brady Bunch one, though.
Yes.
The one with Danny Trejo and Steve Buscemi. I thought that one was probably my favorite one of the Super Bowl. So I was happy with that. Wasn't too excited about the halftime show. It didn't really do anything for me. Kept on crossing my fingers for a wardrobe malfunction. Didn't happen.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. I think so. Sorry, there's apparently there's a Sharks connection going on right now, and I was trying to take a look into that a little bit. Yevgeny Nabokov, just as you know, I'm a Sharks fan. Yevgeny Nabokov ended up getting traded back to the Sharks today, most likely to retire. So he's going to be one of those people who got traded basically so that he could go and retire for the team that he played the longest for. So really happy to see that. Really happy to hear that.
Speaking of trades, let's go ahead and move into the draft, which is going to be coming up here in 3 short months, thanks to the NFL being D-bags about moving it back to April or May.
Yes, definitely. They are D-bags. It was much better when it was an all-day Saturday thing, but they needed more money, so they put it on a Thursday.
Well, first a Friday, now a Thursday, and it's just awful. Like, I agree. It was great on Saturday. You could wake up, you could crack open a beer and have a reason for it, because you're like, hey, I'm watching football. It may be to the draft, but I'm still watching football.
I know. Honestly, it's like, come on, I need a good excuse if I'm going to be drinking all day on a Saturday, and you're really just not giving me one unless you put football there in the morning.
Exactly, and going back to our whole hangover at work policy, you can't do it on Thursday, and then Friday, it's like, all right, I can find something better to do on a Friday night than watch the second and the third round of the draft. I just don't think it was a smart move on their part.
No, it really wasn't. And they really need to be thinking about my liver a lot more than they are.
Absolutely. And my fun allotment, they need to be thinking about that. But no, the NFL doesn't care. Despite what they try to get you to believe, they don't care about anything but money.
Yes, exactly. But it's going to happen on a Thursday, as usual, and Jameis Winston is most likely going to be the first overall taken by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's what Mel Kiper says. That's what everybody says. What do you think about Jameis Winston going to the Bucs? Good move? Bad move? Doesn't really matter because they have to do it no matter what.
Right. I think Lovie Smith may be able to kind of help him out. However, I'm not thrilled about him staying in Florida. Like, obviously, he's been enabled in Florida this whole time. You know, if they were to move him to a completely new locale where he would have a whole new surrounding and maybe a new support system, I would feel better about his success possibilities there. But still being in Florida, not that far away from the people that have been kind of contributing to his off-the-field issues right now, not a big fan of that. But otherwise, I think Lovie Smith will provide a good support system for him as much as he can inside the organization. Tampa Bay desperately needs a quarterback. Obviously, McCown's not the long-term answer. Glennon's not the long-term answer. And they really just can't pass him up. He's got all the on-the-field skills that they need. They just need to make sure that his head's on straight.
Yeah, completely agree. I agree that's going to be hard with him staying down in Florida. It should be very difficult. But, you know, hopefully they'll have – Lovie will be able to build up the defense enough, and they'll be able to do a little bit of a better job, providing him a good team around him, which means maybe the whole team won't be resting just upon him.
Right. All right, so let's go ahead and we're on McShay's mock drafting. At number two, he has Leonard Williams going to the Titans, a defensive end out of USC. Now, a lot of people were thinking Mariota was going to go number two here. Like, you know, Winston and Mariota were going to be 1-2 in some sort of order. What do you think about the Titans passing on him and going for a defensive end?
I like it because I'm not one. You should be building from your lines backwards. And the Tennessee needs a lot more help, and Mariota's not going to be Mariota or Winston are not going to be someone that's going to save the Titans next year. They should be building this way. However, I am sad because I like Mariota. I think he's getting kind of a bum rap with everyone saying that he's just a system quarterback. I think he's smart enough that he could play in the league right away. I think he can learn a system. It'd be nice for him to go to a team where it doesn't have to start right away so that he can take a year to learn things, but I think he's kind of getting a bad rap by people saying that he's not going to be able to make it in the NFL. So I'm sad because I wanted him to go number two, but I'm happy because I don't think the Titans should take him. Does that make sense, or is that just completely crazy?
That does, but it will be negated here when we come up to him at pick number six. All right, so real quick, the Jaguars, number three, they're not going to take Mariota. They took Gabbert last year, so McShay has them taking Randy Gregory, defensive end out of Nebraska. I mean, they need as much skill players as they can get. Personally, I'd like Amari Cooper in this position. I think giving him M. Gabbert, you know, two young studs or potential studs, the opportunity to form a connection, I think would help a lot. Because they probably are one of the least dynamic teams skill-wise in the NFL, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I don't really like that because I want Cooper to go next to the Oakland Raiders.
Of course you do.
I think that that's going to be a great one. They are finally out of position. Their line wasn't too bad last year. I mean, Derek Carr, for all of his struggles, he wasn't sacked all that often. I mean, he was rushed, and there's definitely some room for improvement there, but that was kind of one of the things. It's like he wasn't doing too terrible. Their defensive line was not great, but not awful, so they're finally out of position where they could take a wide receiver, and I'd be happy with it. Take one of those skill positions. See what you can do. They've got a ton of money in the cap. They can bring people in on offense, bring people in on defense, and take a young wide receiver to grow up with Derek Carr. I think it's a great move for them at this position.
That's true, and Derek Carr was tied for 23rd in time sacked at 24, so not bad at all for a rookie quarterback.
And for a Raiders team that you wouldn't expect to be that good at that.
Oh, I've expected his number to be green just constantly.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
So we're running at the 20-minute mark right now, so we won't spend too much time on the Redskins because neither you or I care about them. But they are taking, or McShay has them taking Shane Ray out of Missouri, defensive end. That makes three defensive ends in the top five picks. What are your thoughts on that, just real quick?
Good thing, once again, I'll say it the entire time talking about the draft, is that you should be building from the line out. So a team like the Redskins to actually be drafting someone good for their team is very surprising.
I think it also kind of shows, like, if you're to look at this as, like, a market that shows that there is an absolute dearth of talent in skill positions and offensive line, because usually offensive line are the one, you know, especially tackles, to go kind of in a rush in the top 10. Now it's defensive ends, and we'll see defensive tackle here shortly, but so those positions that you normally see teams build around aren't really there in this draft. Doesn't mean it's not a good draft or a deep draft, just doesn't mean that those key positions that everybody hones in on are stacked this year. All right, so number six, as you mentioned, Marcus Mariota going to the Jets. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't see the Jets being a better landing spot than the than Tennessee as far as helping him survive and, you know, be successful.
No, no, I don't like that either. Chan Gailey is going to be there as the offensive coordinator. Could help, but this is... Yeah, this is going to be this is a rookie coach coming in here, and this is just not going to be good. I mean, the Jets, yeah, will probably be better this year, but not better enough to make it good for Mariota to be there. He needs to go somewhere where hopefully he can sit for a little while, but definitely not a spot where he has to carry the team. I mean, look at Teddy Bridgewater last year. He went to the Vikings, where he was not asked to carry the team, and look at how good he did. He did pretty well. I think if you're a quarterback going in the first round, you want to either be going to somewhere where you don't have to carry the team, or nobody gives a crap if you win or lose, like Derek Carr. Nobody cared how good he did. And there he goes. He did pretty well. Bridgewater, he didn't have to carry the team, and he did pretty well. So I think those are kind of the situations that you want to be in. And neither one of those describes the Jets.
I completely agree. In fact, you know where I'd like to see Mariota go is at pick number 7 to Chicago. I think that the Bears are starting to sour on Jay Cutler a little bit, whether it's his attitude, his play, whatever it may be. I think that, you know, his time's kind of coming to an end here, so you give him one more shot to prove his worth, have Mariota back him up, learn the system, not necessarily learn from Cutler, but learn the system, get acclimated to the NFL, and then spring him on the league in 2016. You know, and then you've also got John Fox there, who, as we talked about last time on the show, I'm not a huge fan of, but he's obviously better than whatever the Jets are throwing out there. So, you know, that's where I'd like to personally see him go, but I know that probably is not going to happen. All right, so we're...
let's jump ahead. I know we want to end this, so why don't we do... let's end with the last two teams that we really care about. Well, three teams, because we are in Oregon sports news. So let's talk about Niners, Cowboys, and then Seahawks.
All right.
So the Niners are coming up next, surprisingly enough, and McShay has them taking Devin Smith, wide receiver. A great move for the Niners here. They need those offensive weapons. That's kind of what they were missing out on this last year with Crabtree not doing too well. Bolden getting older. They need, and Vernon Davis not really showing up the way that they should, or the way that he should. So I think that this is a very good move for them. The only other spot I would have liked to see them go here is they're going to be losing Mike Iupati most likely and losing a few other offensive linemen. So that would be the only other place I'd like to see them go.
True, and they do need offensive playmakers desperately. So I do kind of like that pick, even though it's kind of early for him. All right, next up is the Cowboys at number 27, and McShay has them picking Melvin Gordon out of Wisconsin. Now, this pick is made under the assumption that DeMarco Murray is not going to be re-signed. One, Murray's 27 years old, he's got an injury history, and he's coming off by far the best year of his career, and he was the best running back in the league production-wise last year. So his stock's basically at an all-time high, and the Cowboys can't really afford to re-sign him, nor should they really do it anyways, because, like I said, this is the first year where he's played at least 14 games. He's had injury history throughout college and his professional career, and history has shown that after running backs have as much touches in a season as he did, they generally decline, and usually at a rapid rate. If you look at Sean Alexander, Eddie George, those running backs that were big workhorses for a while, they just kind of dropped off. They lost a step, and they were done. I'm not saying that Murray will be finished, but I think that this will be the best year that we ever see out of him. So I like them replacing him with Gordon, who is fresh, who's coming out of a good running program, has the speed, the capabilities, needs to work on his pass blocking, but definitely has the capabilities of being a Pro Bowl running back in the NFL.
Very good. And let's go right over to the Seattle Seahawks, which is the team from the area, and another team that's got a very good running back, and McShay has him taking another running back, Todd Gurley out of Georgia. Gurley was, of course, very good this offseason. Wasn't he a finalist for the Heisman?
No, he would have been had he been able to stay healthy all year.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then it must have been early projections or something. I remember his name coming up.
Right.
But a lot of comparisons to Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch entering the final deal, final year of his contract, most likely not going to be – they're most likely going to be looking for a trade for Lynch, or just releasing him, letting him go where he wants. So if that is the case, they definitely need to bring in a running back, because that was definitely one of the good spots of their team was how good Lynch was. So they can't afford to have a bad running back in that position. They need to at least have somebody passable, at least somebody that can carry the load for them. And for Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson is a very good quarterback, but he's not good enough to carry that team the way that an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning are able to do.
Right, and I honestly, I think this is my favorite pick out of McShay's whole mock draft. I love this pick of Gurley going to the Seahawks. Like you said, he's pretty much able to step in and fill Lynch's spot almost immediately. He's a little bit more athletic than Lynch is, not quite as strong, but he is just dynamic and versatile. If you watch any of his snaps when he's played in college, you can tell that he is just an extremely talented player. Now, the big issue, obviously, is keeping him healthy. He had two different injuries last year, and that he was injured for most of the previous year. So he does have some serious issues on the injury front, but when he is on the field, he is an absolute game changer. So I love this pick for the Seahawks.
Excellent. Well, I do too. I think that's a great one. But now let's move on to something else great. Let's go streaking for the cash, since we need to end this. It's getting pretty late, especially for you. So let's go in and see what we can do.
Alrighty, let's do it. So Matt, let's start off at ATP Rotterdam. We're in the first round where number two, Milos Raonic, is facing off against Andrei Kuznetsov. How many games will be played? 20 games or fewer, or 21 games or more?
He is going to be hurrying his Kuznetsov once he loses this game, so let's go for 21 games or fewer.
All right,
let's go to the Coupe de France, round of 16. What will be the match result? Will it be U.S. Quivley, winner draw, or Bologna?
I don't think that Quivley is actual U.S. team, so let's go with Bologna. Even if it was U.S., it would probably lose. All right, now let's go to the English Premier League. What will the match result be? We've got Leicester City win, draw, or lose by one, or Arsenal winning by two goals or more.
If A-Train was listening to this, she'd probably yell at us for the pronunciation. I think it's Leicester.
Oh, okay.
Versus Arsenal. We'll take Arsenal to win. They're always a very good team, and I'll even give them the plus two goals.
All right.
Staying in the English Premier League, let's head over to Tottenham Hotspur versus Liverpool. Who will win that matchup?
Let's go with Tottenham Hotspur on the road. All right, Matt, let's go to college basketball where involving my current home state's team, we've got the Kentucky Wildcats win by double digits or LSU win or single-digit loss.
Wow, number one Kentucky will always pull off. Double digits isn't too hard for them. Let's take Kentucky. Staying in that game, which side will score more points in the first half? Harrison plus Andrew Harrison or Jordan Mickey?
You know, I still hate Kentucky basketball, but let's go with the Twins for more. All right, Matt, let's go stay in college basketball, but move to the Memphis Tigers at the East Carolina Pirates. Who you got?
Memphis Tigers will easily pull this one off. Staying in college basketball, big college basketball day, we have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish facing off against the Clemson Tigers.
Irish have been a great team this year. They beat Duke, I think, just last week. Let's look for them to continue their strong play. All right, Matt, staying in college basketball, we've got the Georgetown Hoyas at the Seton Hall Pirates.
Very good one here. Two teams that could definitely make the dance, but let's go with Georgetown to pull this one off. Let's jump up one level into where most of Kentucky's players are going to be next year, into the NBA, where we have the Detroit Pistons facing off against the Charlotte Hornets. We'll win that matchup.
Oh, a game that nobody really cares about, but let's go with Charlotte at home. All right, Matt, let's go back to college basketball, where we've got the Cincinnati Bearcats facing off against the Temple Owls.
Very good matchup here. Two teams that look even in the standings, but let's go with the Temple Owls to pull this one off at home. Set over to what I know is your favorite sport, the NHL, where the New York Rangers are facing off against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Who will win that matchup?
Ah, the Rangers, the one New York team I don't hate. Let's go with them to win on the road at Toronto. All right, Matt, let's stay in hockey. We've got the Tampa Bay Lightning facing off against the Nashville Predators.
This should be a very good game, and the Nashville Predators have been surprising this year, so we'll take them to win it at home. Staying in the NHL, we've got the Minnesota Wild facing off against the Winnipeg Jets. Who will win that matchup?
You know, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. All right, Matt, let's go back to the Kentucky-LSU game. Which will occur first in the second half? Kentucky scores 15 points or LSU scores 10?
Well, I'll stick with the Kentucky domination on this one, with Kentucky scoring 15 points. Heading up a level again to the NBA, we've got the Houston Rockets facing off against the Phoenix Suns. Who will win that matchup?
Let's go with the Rockets on the road on this one. They've been one of the better teams in the NBA this year. All right, Matt, back to college basketball. Which side will record a higher total? Number 8, Kansas's winning margin, or Texas Tech's free throws made?
There's always too many fouls in college basketball, so let's go with free throws made or tie. College basketball again, we got number five Wisconsin win by double digits, or Nebraska to win or single digit loss.
Number 5 Wisconsin on the road still looks good, even if it is by double digits. All right, Matt, staying in college basketball, we've got number 24 Arkansas. Will they have a higher winning margin, or will Auburn have more 3-pointers made?
We'll go with 24 Arkansas's winning margin on this one. Staying in college basketball, we got Xavier Musketeers facing off against Marquette Golden Eagles. I have to say, college basketball is great because I love saying Xavier.
I was going to say, those are two of the best names to say in college basketball. So let's go with Xavier to win on the road. All right, Matt, back to the NBA. We've got the Denver Nuggets at the Los Angeles Lakers.
Let's easily take the struggling Lakers at home to finally pull off a good win here against a struggling Denver team. College basketball one last time. New Mexico at Colorado State. Will Colorado State score a point in the last minute of the first half? Wow, they are really reaching the bottom of the barrel for this one.
They really are, but let's go ahead and pull out a fish that says yes, they will score in the last minute of the half.
Well, that sounds excellent. All right. I think we have reached the end of our time, and even if we haven't, we've run out of things good to say. So we're going to leave you for now. Thank you very much for tuning in. We will be back to you in a week or two. And other than that, we hope you enjoy the time, enjoy the off season. But NFL will be coming back soon.
Remember, keep pushing it. Push it good.
Indeed.